You're listening to London Taxi Radio, the new voice of the London taxi trade. You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
This is the sound.
Good afternoon, lovely listeners. This is Sean Paul Day, and this track is about right, yeah? Other topics on the agenda today, and that's the UCG to launch group legal action against TfL, Uber and Westminster Magistrates Court. We'll be hoping to catch up with Trevor Merrills. He'll be joining us on the live show. The Rotherhithe Tunnel about to close for weekend in preparation for new vehicle access restrictions. They don't mean us, do they? Ex-Uber executive Rachel Whetstone could be sued by another executive. How about that? On Tuesday, the city came to a decision about Bank Junction. They're going to retain the restrictions. All of that and much more coming up on London Taxi Radio.
Something's gone wrong.
You're listening to Mark Almond and Gene Pitney. I remember seeing the video of them together doing this, of course, and gave me the shudders. They wasn't, was they? I've got a story about Mark Almond. I picked him up once in the cab. It was 2010 specifically, I remember, because it featured. And I took him to a place just off, Jamaica Road. There's some flats there just off Jamaica Road. I forget the street. But, definitely 2010. And he just... I think he'd had that road traffic accident, you remember, where he'd replaced all his teeth with silver teeth, which doesn't work unless you're in James Bond, does it really? But anyway, he didn't talk all the way there. He was on the phone, so I wasn't rude. I didn't disturb him. And when he got out, I said to him, I said, Mark, you wouldn't believe what Soft Cell meant to me back in 2010. And he got out, and he was like, he was in awe. He was awestruck by that. And he looked at me in the window and went, oh, love, because he's from, I think, up to north, isn't he? And he went, oh, love, he said, well, that's very nice of you to say. And he said, I tell you what, wouldn't you like to come in and have a cup of coffee? And I said, but Mark, it's 2010. Something's gotten hold of my hand, dragging my soul to a beautiful land. Yeah, I mean, what would we have talked about? We'd probably sing a few songs, wouldn't he, about wandering around Soho on a rainy night, all alone. That's what he does, isn't it? And I mean, we've heard the stories, haven't we? Or urban myths. I'm going to be joined by Miss Myrna Bourne, and she'll be giving us the delights with Ursula later on as well. This time, very racy. Don't miss that, will you? Young maidens talking about the things they're talking about. Of course, it's a tragedy, isn't it? And the newly formatted Taxi Leaks News Desk will be back, and I'll be discussing the issues and items that affect you and the cab trade with none other than Jim Thomas. He passed his medical this week with flying colours, apparently. The only other person that said that, all his arteries exploded that day later on. Not really. He's in fine fetteries, Jim. And yes, as I say, he will be back with the newly formatted Taxi Leaks News Desk. The big story, though, this week, and I think it is big, is that Chris Johnson, well, They had a meeting. The All Trade Group, the UTG, that is, agreed not to support Chris Johnson's Lim B action, even though most of them had no idea what the action was about and hadn't even read any of his posts on social media. Steve Mack has also confirmed that the LTDA will not be objecting to Uber court case decision, as he didn't think they could win. But if he thinks we can't win against Uber's judgment, when it has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the magistrate had a direct conflict of interest and has since been banned from any future Uber trials, then why is he fronting a compensation claim and asking drivers to sign up without even seeing the terms and conditions? I find that beggars belief, to be quite honest. I really do. But the UTG even said that they didn't understand Chris Johnson's action. Well, they could have asked me to go up and explain it to them, couldn't they? I don't know about you, but it seems like the LTDA roll over every time, every conflict, every chance to act and represent the rank and file that pay their wages. We're losing everything: rank space, bus lane access, Bank Junction, Tottenham Court Road, and all we get from them is this "let's wait and see." It's more like a sitcom, don't you think? And that group around the table, let me just talk about that group around the table at the moment, because it is interesting, because I was just looking at it and I haven't really paid that much attention to it, because I could see this sea of people who I vaguely recognise, because you don't see them crawl out of the woodwork very often, do you? Certainly not to lobby on the side of the cab trade, but they did for this because there was a whisper of money about, wasn't there? Yeah, and they can't miss that. And so I was looking at this picture, and it is a very interesting picture, because you may not have seen these people for 30 years. And even then, you've probably only seen them if you've had a run-in with them. And so I was looking at the picture, and I'll give you the tail of the tape, just looking at it now. You got Malcolm Pace. Well, he looks like he's had one too many dinners at the worshipful company of Hackney carriage drivers, doesn't he? Yeah, he's there. You've got Riesel. Well, you know what Riesel's parting words were at City Hall? His parting words were that he sold radio taxis to get because he wanted to give something back to the trade. How altruistic of Geoffrey Riesel after all this time. Well, there's a first for everything, isn't there? But then you've got, looking around, you have, well, you've got Kovler, Howard Kovler. Now, a lot of you might not be aware of Howard Kovler. I wasn't aware of Howard Kovler until a few weeks ago, until he popped his head up and said that he wanted to chair the debate between the potential branch chairman and branch secretaries going up at the LTDA. Never known him do this before, never seen him before, never heard of him before. Apparently, Mac didn't know him either. He only knew his old man 30 years ago when he rented a cab from him. That's what he says, but he's there, sitting on his right-hand side. So I, on social media, thought I'd ask him who had invited him to do this, because it was interesting that a lot of people didn't seem to know who he was. And so I asked him, and then suddenly I got this torrent of, as almost like I'd been victimising him and persecuting him for doing the right thing by the trade. And I couldn't believe it. I wanted to know, all I wanted to know, was who had invited him to chair this meeting. And he wouldn't declare his hand. He said he wanted to be impartial. Well, you're not impartial if you don't declare a conflict of interest. What was perceived to be a conflict of interest, otherwise he'd have just said, wouldn't he? He'd have been open about it. Well, he wasn't going to be open. And I'd like to say this. If he thought he was persecuted because and doing the right thing, well, just say who invited you. Because not unlike, and I've mentioned this last week, epigenetics, the technical term for sins of the father, then he didn't declare his hand because we know who invited him, and it was definitely a conflict of interest. And the reason I say sins of the father, because his father and all those in that room, pretty much all of them, was all in the meeting in 2009, wasn't they? When they were told, be prepared, because e-hailing is coming. And not one of them told the trade. It's a travesty, by the way, to talk over a bit of dusty, isn't it? Rice is there, of course. He's out the way. He's gone, hasn't he? I'm not quite sure if he got the asking price for the building he's in, though. Bob Oddie, well, surely he's not taking a percentage for a consultation fee from ComCab still, is he? Surely not. And the General Secretary, Steve Mack. Steve McNamara, that is. Oh, I had trouble saying that. I wonder why. He wouldn't tell the truth about what colour underwear he's got on. So how do we expect him to be forthcoming with the truth when there's a conflict of interest? I believe you, Dusty. I believe you. This one's appropriate, isn't it, for one or two of them? I didn't see the fodder there, but there was around, no doubt, the fodder of Com, who are the Council of Management, who are... got electrodes put on them once a month to get them from the vaults to come upstairs, not go to jail, pass go and collect £290. Thank you very much. That's inflation for you, isn't it, folks? You can't expect them to make a decision about anything, can you? And that's why they're there. In rumours that travel through the air, I hear certain members of the LTDA were summoned up to number 9 Woodfield Road to be interrogated over intimidation tactics. Apparently, it was like an episode of The Sweeney. Well, not quite that good. Somebody said Hazel, if you remember Hazel. I didn't see Jeff Cayley, but I'm sure he wasn't far behind. Oh wait, someone just said he still owes the milkman a fiver. Again. It was something about the decision that was made at Woodfield Road this week, where all the trade leaders got together to vote against, and I got to say, some of them didn't vote against, but the consensus was not to back Chris Johnson's tribunal claim. Now, this didn't involve Uber, it didn't involve TfL, it didn't involve anybody where there'd be a conflict of interest. What it did, it involved 5 of the trade bodies to get together and vote on backing this test case. And they couldn't scratch together £18,000 in order to do it. Shameful. I mean, what you have here, and anybody else would think they were so lucky, you've had an individual do so much work and preparation to put a case together where, seemingly, it is a win-win. We've looked at every angle, and I cannot see in his, what he's put up, his defence, I cannot see how the trade can lose, and yet they didn't back it. Let me tell you, a regulatory framework will be formatted, and it'll be formatted either with us or without us at some point. This is one hell of an opportunity to have our input in that formatting. Now, we're not talking about regulation here. even though somewhere down the line, that is it. What we are talking about is a tribunal claim, and all that was being asked of my taxi was that they gave him a reason, a valid reason, for deactivating him off the app. And as close as they came was they didn't have to give drivers a reason to deactivate them. And with that, maybe they should all be paying employment rights, all be paying holiday pay, sick pay, maternity leave, and legal recourse. What the apps want, and like all those CEOs and directors, especially all those that sat there at the Institute of Directors when they gave Kalanick a standing ovation, they want everyone who they employ to be independent contractors. There you go, made up terminology, independent contractor. They don't have to pay what I was saying, holiday pay, sick pay, maternity leave or anything like that. Wouldn't that suit them? Who wouldn't vote overwhelmingly for that, hey? Let's get this right. This isn't about minicabs or taxis. This is about drilling down workers' rights, erosion of working rights, re-establishing, redefining, if you will, working rights. We give that up at our peril. All we are asking of my taxi, and Get for that matter, is to adhere to the regulations that you, me, and every other taxi driver has to adhere to. Why wouldn't they want that? Why wouldn't they want to commit themselves to the trade? The trade, black taxis, the iconic black taxi that they jumped on the back of to make money. You could say Uber had it harder. At least they had to buy growth. The taxi hailing apps, or the apps that utilize the services of taxi drivers, they jumped on the back of an established product. Easy. And when we highlighted that my taxi wasn't verifying your license, so effectively anyone could upload their documents. Fake documents, because we did. We uploaded fake documents. Now, we wasn't trying to be fraudulent or commit identity theft. What we did was upload documents that were clearly, clearly fake. And I'm sorry, I had a coughing fit. I think I've got cat hair in my throat. She's still a beauty. But yes, if they don't value your license, when we uploaded the fake documents, obviously fake, which took us 3 minutes to do so, and within those 3 minutes, we also booked this person. If they don't think your license is important enough to verify it, then we may as well be Uber drivers, hadn't we? Well, I could have said that better, couldn't I? But yes, absolutely. What we did was we uploaded Delroy Grant. Delroy Grant is a prolific rapist. Something like 600 rapes to his name. Shocking. We uploaded his image. It was his mugshot, for goodness sake. And his address was Wormwood Scrubs. And he was driving a Prius, private hire driver. Uploaded him onto my taxi platform in 2 minutes. And he was booked by 3 minutes. It was only when their brand looked like it was being tainted that they decided to start verifying licenses the next day. That had 10 days, remember, to get in touch and have a meeting about what they was doing. Well, they didn't, and so we had to shame them. Overnight, they started verifying licenses. So if you think they care about your business, they don't. They care about their own business. Your work is their work. Now, in order for my taxi to win this case, they will have to argue that you are independent on the app, that you accept the booking. Now, that is tantamount, isn't it, to applying for hire. So, We want them to declare themselves as applying for hire app. Now, if you're applying for hire app, then that is the province of the taxi trade, the taxi industry, isn't it? Your taxi license. No one else can do it. Potentially, it says that Uber has to demonstrate that they have put in provision that they are not applying for hire. Their drivers are not applying for hire. Now, I know there's been lip service, but there's a section, a clause put on the FOIs that you can't access that information. Now, do they not think this is in the public interest? If I was a member of the travelling public, I would want to know that what I'm getting into doesn't contravene the regulations, isn't in breach of the legislation. I would want to know that I'd be fully insured with the appropriate insurance because they obliged the current regulations. And that's all we're asking, that my taxi adhere to the regulations that you, me, and every other taxi driver out there has to adhere to. It's not too much of an ask, is it? If they don't want to, then maybe they should be an employer and establish the kind of relationship other employers do with employees. It does irritate me that they seemingly can do nothing, the regulators and the policymakers. We're in a period of time when they all go, well, we would if we could, but we can't. Yes, you can. It's as easy as that. Quite often people say to me, well, what's the difference with them and the radio circuits? Well, I had a problem with the radio circuits as well. I wasn't on one because of it. But the difference was regulation. Everything that was important a few years ago has now become secondary, hasn't it? And we are saying, no, if you don't want zero-hour contracts, and we're talking about this transcends the taxi trade, doesn't it? It goes into the wider society, the wider workforce, and it's only the workforce that's going to be eroded, isn't it? But if you don't want zero-hour contracts coming knocking at your door and things like that and no legal recourse, and no holiday pay, sick pay, even though you've taken on this very restricted position of an employee, then you've got to do something about it now, because it's only the taxi trade that's been infracted on as of now. You sure as hell know it'll come knocking on your door also. Moving on from that a little bit, the big deal, another big deal, and it is a big deal because the UCG have announced that they've taken legal opinion and are going to set up a crowdfund to get support to take TfL to court. Now, this is what we always wanted, wasn't it? You've got the Mish Condonera case, but looking at that, that is going after Uber. And I have always said it isn't Uber you go after because they're a corporation and they took their opportunity to be here, opportunists. And why wouldn't corporations, if they're being given such a wonderful opportunity as having a monopoly over London and being state assisted in order to break the back of the incumbent trade? I mean, that doesn't come along very often, does it? But it did. Why wouldn't they take the opportunity? So the people who are responsible is the regulator. And it doesn't matter if the government are dictating policy and saying you should be doing this, because TfL is a regulator and they are arbitrators of the law. Arbitrators of the law. They are enforcers of the law. They are not lawmakers. And so they shouldn't be doing the government's bidding, a corrupt government's bidding. They should be enforcing the law. So it doesn't matter that they failed in their remit to regulate. It doesn't matter if they set up a corporate structure being an illegal structure set up with Uber, the service provider, in order to operate illegally. It doesn't matter. Or it doesn't matter if they was inept, because they should have regulated, or they should have been at least proficient enough to be able to regulate. And with that, they are responsible, whatever. Respect and sugar. When you come. And for a long time, I've considered TfL to have broken a long-standing trade agreement. Now, it doesn't matter if you have signed a contract or not. It is a long-standing trade agreement. And last week, I think we discussed, you meet every single stringent licensing criteria you need to meet in order to operate on the on-demand market. Now, you have to meet the required level. If you don't meet that, you can't be a taxi driver. If you don't drive a purpose-built vehicle based on safety and liberty, incidentally, then you can't drive, you can't work as a taxi driver, and you can't become a taxi driver any other way. The choices are out of your hands. So, once you've done that, you are now governed by a tariff. That tariff is based on cost indexes of running a purpose-built vehicle. The highly inflated purpose-built vehicle, may I add, you can't work as a taxi driver any other way. That tariff is agreed by none other, or is party to, by TfL. TfL agree that tariff, and that is based on the viability of that vehicle, the vehicle they say you have to drive. Now, it doesn't matter if they bought in a flying carpet, it doesn't matter if they bought in teleportation. If it didn't meet the 1998 private hire regulations, or it didn't meet the cab order, they shouldn't be here, should they? In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by Miss Myrna Bourne. The Princess and the Pea, Miss Myrna Bourne is. Oh, good morning, that's I've got Norman in the background. Hey, the domestic. Yeah, Miss Myrna Bourne, you know, it's not Princess and the Pea, it's the Princess and the Can of Fosters, maybe. And of course, we'll be talking to Jim Thomas, and we'll have his news desk, new format, great stuff. And like I said, tomorrow we'll be talking to Trevor Merrills, and we'll be discussing the case that they have taken legal opinion and are going to proceed with action against TfL, Uber and the magistrate. Time to rally the troops, no? You're listening to Sean Paul Day, and this is London Taxi Radio. Of course, we thank you for listening to the podcast. So yes, I believe TfL has broken a long-standing trade agreement. I did speak to, what would they be called? ACAS. They're, well, arbitrators on that. I think so. Somebody will correct me on that, no doubt. Yeah, I spoke to ACAS and they did say to me, interestingly enough, that the job of a regulator isn't that different to the role of an employer. They're not the same, but he said certain responsibilities, they are not that different. And so he said definitely if you have had a long-standing agreement, and we have, because correlatively you and I cannot work as a taxi driver in any other way than the way we do, and my remit as a taxi driver hasn't changed since Ken Livingstone labelled us or stated that we were firmly integrated into public transport, and I believe we are. We meet municipal conditions, don't we? We couldn't choose credit cards or what we wanted. We had prescribed ones, ones we were told to have, and we were told to have them. And in exchange, we get use of infrastructure like bus lanes. That is an agreement. We are a municipal industry. We're supposed to be a door-to-door industry as well, because we were told that we had to accept every fare within a six-mile radius of Charing Cross. That's what I was told anyway. And there were no-go areas. Well, that's since changed, hasn't it? Because the boroughs are restricting us from going into those areas. Now, the thing is, TfL seems okay with that. TfL says, oh, okay, well, you still have to accept a fare, even though you couldn't complete that fare, because taxis were the only public transport that offered a door-to-door service. And you can't do that in certain areas. Well, you can if you drive a certain vehicle, but I didn't have a choice about my vehicle. At the time of investment, and I did see it as investment, because that's all that my bread and butter work, and my paid work is as a taxi driver. I don't work in any other capacity. And so I invested in that, and at the time of investment, I couldn't buy another vehicle other than a diesel-run vehicle. Now, it met every single criteria. It met the EU strategy, emission strategy. It met those. I wasn't illegal. I was legal. And it was what TfL said I had to drive, because at the time, there wasn't an electric vehicle available. And isn't it funny that these policies and these restrictions are now put in place after they've sold the final brand new diesel vehicle? They didn't put it in place before, no, because that would have been against business interests, wouldn't it? And I'm sure Mercedes would have kicked off about it. They don't lobby that much on our behalf, do they? I don't think they lobby at all. They probably lobby against us because it's not in their favour to lobby on our behalf. But for certain, they didn't bring in any restrictions until they had sold their final diesel and the LEVC taxi was released. Suddenly, you have no choice. Suddenly, you are restricted from these areas. And I would say in contravention of primary legislation, and we'll be checking it out. But nevertheless, the fact that you can meet every single licensing criteria and still be restricted, surely there's something stinks there, doesn't it?
You're listening to London Taxi Radio. London Taxi Radio. Something you said, I just died in your arms tonight.
This is the Cutting Crew, and I just died in your arms tonight. How about that? We'll be joined by Miss Myrna Bourne in just a moment. She's stirring. Normikos came in earlier. He was said hello, but he was with his feather duster, nice pink feather duster, you know, dusting around all the equipment. It's good like that. In a 2-2. Oh, you want to see him. Or passes the time. And Ursula will come along as well. They're out in the city. If you're under 18, you need to have some earplugs, let me tell you. These horns don't exist to under 18s. Myrna reminded me, I messed up my story earlier about Mark Almond. How terrible. You must have all been sitting there thinking, what's he talking about? I really did mess it up. Oh, you can't do it again. You can't tell a story again, can you? But effectively, what happened was he was in the back of the cab and I said to him what Soft Cell, which was the group he was in, meant to me back in 1983, that's the year I should have said. But I got confused because the dates I was given. You know I'm dyscalculous. I can't add up. I can't take away. Minute numbers are involved. I just go to pot. But, yes, I said what Soft Cell meant to me back in 1983. And then he went, oh, do you want to come in and have a coffee? And I went, but Mark, it's 2010. And he did, believe me, not even for old time's sake. He looked really ropey around the edges. He'd been involved in that accident, hadn't he? And he'd replaced all his teeth and he just looked an absolute, honestly, what a mess. Still, he's got some stories, hasn't he? Just news in, actually. We've got a message from... he was one of the founders of the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers. And he says, following the City Corp's decision to make no entry at Bang Junction permanent, Sean Farrell, one of the founders, original members of the Fellowship of Hackney Carriage Drivers, and he wrote this on Dialer Cab's Facebook page. He goes on to say, I used to be proud of my Freedom of London certificate that hung on the wall. At the moment, it is lying on the floor behind the desk where it has been since the Bang Junction ban started. For those that don't know, I was the founder, along with Chris George, of the original Fellowship of Hackney Carriage Drivers. Getting that off the ground took every minute of the time and nearly wrecked my marriage. I used to be proud of what I had achieved, but not anymore. Our traders served the city for over 400 years, and this is how we were repaid. And it wasn't even a taxi that caused the death of the cyclist. Seems turning the junction into a bus lane is too much to ask for. But no doubt the Worshipful Company will probably still take part in the Lord Mayor's show. They may see it as an attempt to win back hearts and minds. Perhaps they could even have a float letting everyone know that your taxi has to take the long way round because the Mayor has said that being honoured doesn't want us to go past his front door. I gave up being a clerk back in 1995 to go to uni where I studied history, so I cannot criticise those who have made the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers what it is today. But what will it be tomorrow? It is in danger of becoming a laughingstock. After all, who will want to join? It never was, nor should be, a political body. It was left that to the LTDA and the LCDC. But if I was still clerk, then yes, I and the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers would not participate in the Lord Mayor's show. Neither would I attend any function in which the Lord Mayor was in attendance. I would even consider dropping the Worshipful from the title. The Waterman and Lighterman Company is not Worshipful either. Perhaps I would even consider dropping out of the livery altogether, leaving an embarrassing gap at our position as the 104th livery. There is nothing, as far as I am aware, that prevents the company from continuing good work, Disney, etc., just as they have been, and there is no reason why it has to be under the umbrella of the Lord Mayor. Despite the ban, I will continue paying in my monthly donation to the Worshipful Company charity, but now many members will lose interest and leave. Over the weekend, I will be retrieving my freedom certificate. I will dust it down, put it in an envelope and return it to the Chamberlain's Court at Guildhall, from whence it was issued. My freedom has been eroded. To continue to display it is hypocritical. They can stuff their certificate. And that's from Sean Farrell of the Worshipful Company of Hackney Carriage Drivers. And I feel really sorry for Sean, because I know whatever we think of anything that's to do with the trade. I know that an awful lot of work went into that by Sean, and it was one of the later entries into the Worshipful Company hierarchy, you could say, because there is an hierarchy, and it is at the position of 104. Nevertheless, it was there, and it was it's done some great work to advertise the city, and does some great charity work as well. Well, you know what? It's been smacked it between the eyes, hasn't it? They've been slapped around the face as far as we're concerned. As far as they're concerned, obviously, because, you know, the repayment they've got for everything they've done to be kicked out of it and not having the freedom to the city, you know. At least the Queen's Highways is still there, and we'll have to make a fuss about the restrictions there as well, won't we? But there was something significant, wasn't there, about Bang Junction? Absolutely something significant. There was the idea that they were preventing trading in the city. And what about that? The City of London, the capital in the world for trading, preventing trading. And I think that's the most shocking thing. And there was a synergy between the cab trade and the city. I know a lot of the Barra boys that went over to the city in the early days, certainly a lot of them was cab drivers, and a lot of them vice versa became cab drivers. There certainly was a kind of synergy there. Not anymore. I think not being allowed through the heart of the city when, through no fault of our own, because it has nothing to do with safety, absolutely nothing to do with safety, but they perpetuate the line that it is everything to do with safety, and yet they allow the unsafest form of public transport through there. I think that does us a disservice. It's an injustice to us. It tells everybody that we are unsafe, or that we are not deserving to go through the heart of the city. And all those passengers, those taxi paying passengers that have every right to be a passenger because they are a pedestrian at every other time, every right to choose a taxi instead of a bus for whatever reason, and now cannot go through the most efficient route possible. They have to be sent around the peripheral on routes that would be inefficient just so that the bottom line, which is shareholders, get a share of profit. That's what it's about, because it's not about speeding up bus times for passengers. It's about speeding up bus times for the franchise companies. That's what it's about, because TfL cannot make efficiencies elsewhere. So let's close roads off to all other forms of transport. We'll monopolise the public transport system through that area, and that's how we'll save on time. Well, it does us all an injustice, and our passengers, who for whatever reason, and are pedestrians at all other time, have chosen to take a taxi. I think it is disgraceful that the City of London will choose the safest form of transport to not be included in their scheme. And they should, all of them should hang their heads in shame. Everybody has a price, don't they? And this time it's the city. And what a cheap price it is. £500,000 from Transport for London, so that they can control the data going through there and perpetuate the myth that this is about safety. They are liars, and they should be called out for it. Absolute liars. They are refusing the safest public transport option in London, a door-to-door service from trading in the city. What about that? The city restricts trading. Maybe we should restrict their trading. Oh, this is a reflex by Duran Duran. Do you know, they were the first, maybe second. Oh, that doesn't make it. You know, when you get a mix, they've either got to be the first or nothing at all, have they? They were the first group I ever saw in concert. Thinking about 1982, before they brought out Wild Boys, previous to that. So when they were really big, massive. I think I saw them at the NEC in Birmingham, which is quite a big stadium. The second one was Dead or Alive. Yeah, You Spin Me Round and Round and Round. Yeah, and all that. How about that? Actually, they were good. He could sing back in the day, couldn't he, Pete Burns? Quite attractive as well in his early years. I mean, come on. I mean, have a look. No, I don't think he's with us anymore. That's a shame. Great character. Miss Myrna Bourne has resurfaced. Resurfaced because she went back and had a little beauty nap. Oh, beauty nap. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Beauty nap obviously didn't work, but...
It is, it's working. It's working in abundance today.
I'm going to say what Sean told me yesterday, and I thought it was quite funny. I put some makeup on, and he asked me to use the mirror next time.
Well, do you know, that's a case in point. You know, it looked like, you know, out of the film Death Becomes Her.
This is why I'm so withdrawn, because of the treatment that I'm getting from Sean Paul Day.
The treatment? What kind of treatment is that?
Or mistreatment.
Oh, well, that'll be it. That'll be it, wouldn't it? How are you doing? You had a good week? What has happened this week? I know that it's felt like chaos. You've had the Woodfield Road shenanigans, Bank Junction decision. You've got the nine roads closed off to taxis.
I know.
You know, and we're not doing anything. Seemingly, we're not doing anything.
Absolutely nothing, it looks.
Well, you could say, we could say we are, because you've got lawyers interested in taking a class action out on our behalf. So you've got that, Mish Condonera, underwritten by Arba. There's two companies that want to make 40% from us. You've got, Trevor Merrill, yes, who we hope to be talking to on the live show this week, as I've already stated. But they've got, they've got legal opinion. They've received legal opinion on taking out action against TfL, the magistrate, and Uber, all of them. But TfL specifically, and I think it's a pretty grounded, pretty good case to go with, the idea that they, you know, have broken this trading agreement and reparation should be made. Of course it should. And Chris Johnson, of course, who was refused any money, and he was just looking for 18 grand. I mean, that's a loose change for number 9 Woodfield Road, isn't it? 18 grand to get a definition on our working rights, or on our rights as employees or free traders, sole traders, because either my taxi take the position of principal or they take the position of the agent. They can't be both, and they are playing both for their own benefit, certainly not for our benefit. And to be kept in this place of uncertainty, I don't think is very good for drivers. So I think to turn down funding it, 18 grand, on a test case where we couldn't really lose, because either they have to declare their hand, you could say, as applying app, or they have to make, you know, reparation in the fact that they have similar relationship as an employer and an employee has. So we could not lose, but they don't want that, do they? Work's all done for them, handed to them on a plate. Don't want it. I know there was people in there that did vote for it, but if it's voted down, and you can bet your bottom dollar the LTDA and Unite, because Unite are the LTDA's lapdogs, bet your bottom dollar they both voted it down, because neither of them want any kind of guideline or regulatory framework for these apps. Neither of them. So if they tell you you've got to go down to Piccadilly Circus, pirouette, naked, with your thumb up your arse, you're going to have to do it, or you get deactivated, because they don't want them to be governed by the same regulation that you have to adhere to. So there you go. Voted down. One driver went there, all the work done, all the details they needed, and they turned him down. Drivers should be the bottom line in any association. And if there is a good enough reason, they might have a fabulous reason for not backing him. And if they do have a fabulous reason, please let us hear it, because none of us know what it is. I'm having a bit of an 80s fest here, because this is Human League. Now, I remember Human League in 1982. They were bigger than Duran Duran. Do you know about the time of Hungry Like the Wolf? Hungry Like the Wolf. I think I was only about 10. 80, no, I was about 13. I was just coming of age. So what's happening, Myrna? What's been going on about Taxi App? How's it hanging for Taxi App?
Well, I have seen a couple of Taxi App livery from the Mr. Glassman's cabs that he have happily let us use it for taxi up livery. So thank you to Mr. Glassman.
Oh, Mr. Glassman, yeah. Yeah, he did. He gave out, I think, in all, there's 80 cabs,
yes,
that he donated. Well, he supplied to taxi up to put liveries on, replacing gets, which is a good thing, not a bad thing at all, replacing the get liveries with taxi up liveries for free. So and the whole costing isn't for free. I mean, we had to pay for the production of the liveries to be made and to be fitted. Got a good team fitting them, but Michael Glassman supplying 80 cabs free of charge
to display
taxi app liveries.
I think another 10 are going next week sometimes.
Do you know what, though? I've seen the... they might have to change a little bit because they are the logo and try, you know, make it up to a livery that is something of essence. But I have seen them. But the only one I've seen have been on, like, red cabs, and it doesn't go at all. And I never considered that the livery would be against a red cab. I kept thinking a black cab, you know. So I think we might have to do something about just adjust it a little bit.
Another 10 are coming out, and
boys
and
that's
girls,
all that matters.
Please, if we have more drivers, we can have more liveries, and we can do much, much more as a trade and for the trade.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good news, isn't it? That taxi app should be advertised on black cab, shouldn't it? It really should. It is the trade app, and as far as I'm concerned, the official black cab app. Because the other apps are just apps that utilise the services of black cabs. That's all. It is the official black cab app, and it should have some advertising. If there's advertising to go on cabs at all, because I go back to being black all over, then it should be advertised on cabs, shouldn't it? And I think that's the best place to... hang on a second. Be very careful, Miss Menabourne, what you say, because I know you might have picked up on something in your peripheral hearing then. And you might get us into a bit of trouble.
I'm always jumping from subject to subject. But I remember tomorrow we're going to see Sean and me. We are going to Charing Cross Theatre to see Parker Cabby and Holborn Cabby.
Well, it's not just me and you. It seems like the whole cab trade is going. I mean, I don't know whether they're going to fit them all. This is sold out. I don't know whether they're standing room only. But this is Joe Louis Sings. And they are with the Denmark Street Big Band. They are phenomenal. And if you've never heard John, and if you went to see The Knowledge, the play The Knowledge, which was also at the Charing Cross Theatre, then the sax playing between scenes, which was fantastic, I think it was Baker Street, the sax playing, was John Cox, Parker Cabby. Fantastic sax player. Used to be on tour with people like Mitch Winehouse. Really? He's a star as far as saxophone players go. Musicians go. He's a star anyway. But Joe Louis, Joe the Holborn Cab, absolutely phenomenal singer. Blow you away. And that swing stuff is straight down his street. He's absolutely brilliant. You'll look at him and you'll think, you know what? You're better than the originals. Really? I'm not kidding you. Look him up. He is on YouTube. I think he's on YouTube singing Mac the Knife. If you look, Joe the Holborn Cab, Mac the Knife. He sings it a cappella in one go. Bang, there you go. Now that takes some doing. Absolutely phenomenal performance. Never seen them on this scale, though, Myrna. They've been more localised venues. This is a big deal. And I just hope, I can't wait. I think it'll be a great feel afternoon. Get away. Surrounded by cabbies, not talking cab trade. I think it'll be all right. My mother's coming. Your fellas are coming and all that, you know.
We will have a drink
entourage.
After. It will be talking after in the bar.
Yeah, from 1 p.m. there's a piano bar, you know, playing some tunes and a little bit of a social after. If you haven't got a ticket, I don't know whether there is, whether there's any left. I know there was running thin. I know there was on the last 10. But yeah, I mean, I think it's something that should be done again.
And you can pop in for a drink afterwards.
Absolutely, come and say hello. London Taxi Radio will be there.
We will be there.
Yeah, but absolutely. I think it should be done again. If it's a real success, as I've no doubt it will be, I think it might become a regular feature on a Sunday, because no theatre wants to be dark on a Sunday, do they? So it'd be a good thing to have there, you know. Now this.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Millennium by Robbie Williams. It doesn't seem that long ago, does it? Millennium. Time go fast. Even when you're not having fun, time seems to go by fast. You know? We're coming to the end. But I'm very glad that you tune in to London Taxi Radio, either listening to us live or listening to the podcast, very grateful to. Without you, we wouldn't be anything. But we go live tomorrow night at GSS, hosted by City Diesel. So that's GSS tomorrow, City Diesel, 7:30 p.m. Now, we have to go up sharp at 7:30, but if you come down, we could guarantee you get a London Taxi Radio sticker. We do it every time. Nobody wants them. We do offer them out, but you're very welcome to it. Come down, say hello. If you've got anything you want to say, have your say. As long as there's no swear words, I guarantee you'll have your say. And we are very fortunate to be having a very special guest coming down, and that's Trevor Merrill from the UCG, who will be telling us all about the legal opinion that they have received from their lawyers and are going to proceed with. So all the more reason to tune into London Taxi Radio. And as I say, the stream 24 hours a day on TuneIn Radio. So check in with that. Don't forget, you can find us on our Facebook. You go over and like that. I don't know why people don't like the Facebook page. You've got great things going on. You can DM us on Twitter. That's at London Taxi Radio. You can even DM my single account, which is at Sean Paul Day, and that's apt, isn't it? Single. I am single, so there you go. I've got all this time on my hands. Or you could go to the website, which is londontaxiradio.co.uk, or email me at sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk. London Taxi Radio is due to be revolutionised. So, we're building a little studio, which you'll all be welcome to come round and stay, if you like. Well, don't guarantee that, but, you know, come round anyway. But yes, it's going to be revolutionised. Hopefully, we'll have much improved audio, and there'll be lots of additional stuff as well. So, if you want to get in touch with the radio, do so by either DMing me at London Taxi Radio, or, as I say, Sean@LondonTaxiRadio.co.uk.
Or DM me, Mirna 0405.
There you go. I think she was on mute, but no, you're okay. They got that, I think.
I'm so pleased they heard me.
The trolls are out in force, aren't they? Oh, gosh, the trolls are out in force. I don't know what I have to do. Suddenly there's just this uprising of trolls that, you know, they seem to have this cyber bravery at the moment. I don't know what's caused them to come out of the woodwork this time. A bit like the whole lot of trade bodies that were up at the Mishkondaraya conference. All the bodies sitting around there. It's like the trolls.
I've learned that I was exercising all day Mishkondaraya because I knew you were going to ask me.
I know there's a lot going on at the moment, and it does seem like there's quite a lot of crowdfunding going on at the moment, or a lot of needing money to fund certain things. Well, it does seem like the drivers, us drivers, you, me, and all other drivers, it's down to us to achieve anything, to gain anything in this industry, and that's what it comes down to. So, and that can't be done for nothing. So if you've got to engage any kind of the lawyers, or there's a direct action, be prepared, because I think we're being eroded everything. And unless we stand up to it, then it's going to get taken away from us. Open your eyes and smell the coffee. Don't think that someone, a knight in shining armour, is just about to come in, land, and retrieve it all back. It's not going to happen unless we make a point of standing up to it.
Exactly. And this is what I want to say. We have a couple of teams going now. And, you know, if people contribute 10, 20, 30 pounds, they won't even basically notice. They're going to forget about
it. What are you talking about? You're saying contribute. What? Contribute to what?
I mean, like, for the Chris Johnson. I mean, yeah. For the UCG, they're going to probably crowdfund. And I'm still working on convincing you, not only convincing you, pushing you into running for the Mayor of London. Because I think, Sean, don't roll your little eyes, because this would be the best thing that has happened to the trade. And I'm going to tell you why. Even if you don't win, but I believe if you've got a platform, you will wipe everybody. I've got all confidence in you, darling. But the amount of publicity and the message that you can send out, you know, I mean, you can talk. It's not like they're going to have me in front of the camera or something. You can blag it. You are brilliant.
Oh, and it's not the people. It's not the talking. It's the job, isn't it? I think it's a bit of a thankless job. And I question what power the mayor does have. I mean, you look at Sadiq Khan, you think he's got no power. I actually thought Boris had too much power. But then it looked like when he said he was going to leave it to TfL to argue the case for defining what is a taximeter, what constituted a taximeter, and then they went in and defended Uber better than Uber defended it themselves, then I thought, well, actually, maybe the mayor doesn't have that much power. Maybe it is TfL that needs breaking in half, breaking down, dismantling. They carry all the power. They carry the autonomy over everything else. And I think that needs to be broken up.
But definitely, with us sitting and doing nothing, it's not going to do us any good in the future. It's as simple as that. Or we're going to do something about it, and I'm always for doing it. You know, start with yourself, as you said to me once. Start and look at yourself as an individual, what you do. Don't stand there and saying, oh, you know, it's not going to happen. Well, it's not going to happen with that attitude. Let's change the attitude, boys and girls. Let's do things.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, listen to you.
Oh, look, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you know, it's time and money. You know, I do have to go out and work at some point. Oh, come on, you know. I don't know.
I know, darling, you know what? I'm going to marry you, so you're going to be husband and
kid. Well, you've got to make the criteria. You've got to make criteria first. Bollocks. I know, I tell you one thing. I'm good looking enough to be mayor, aren't I? Oh, come on. We come down to looks. I'd wipe the floor.
Essex housewife. He broke the hearts of the Essex housewife.
Have you seen them? They're all lushes.
They love him.
They're all outside on their doorstep at 11 a.m. in their nightgown, you know, with a bottle of...
Waiting for Sean Paul Day pass in his taxi.
They've got a bottle of Lambrusco in one hand, fag in the other, in their pink dressing gown outside the doors, all chatting to each other. Come on, it's not like the Leguiste French commercial, is it, when they all threw open the blinds, threw open the doorways, naked, you know, going Leguiste. You remember that? I don't know what that was for.
It's better here with us in Essex.
I think it was for Lynx, underarm deodorant. And we all had Lynx when we were kids, didn't we? Couldn't beat Lynx. But you know, a bit different in Raynham when they're all standing on the doorstep in their worn-out, terry-toweling pink dressing gowns.
Are you describing me?
Bottle of Lambrusco and the glass, wine glass with lipstick around it. Oh, this is it. No, I love Essex. This, come on. How could you not love Essex? Come
exactly.
On. You know, it's the, you know, brings you the highway into the heart of the world, the centre of the universe. It doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter where you grew up. Wherever you grow up is the centre of the universe, isn't it? That's where it is. Maybe not Croatia, but who knows? Is it? Yeah, okay, this is the Croatia. It is what it is, isn't it? But that's it. That's our lot. Again, great for you tuning in. Don't forget live show tomorrow. Go on.
Can I say hello to my friends in the Vodsgrove garage, Hakan and ID Taxis? Because if it wouldn't be for them, Normico would probably kill me by now. How many times?
Oh, listen, I was there.
It was your fault, Sean.
I think, you know, when people say to you, they kept right and they go, but I don't do reversing. How can you not do reversing? You're cab driving, you don't do reversing.
I've done reversing.
Well, you did reverse then and you went into the, went the gate into those.
Gates.
Only these gates, which only happen to be, it looks, you know, if it was apocalyptic and these were the gates of heaven, you know, thing like that. That's how big they was. These are the gates to eternity. This is how big these gates were. She didn't see them, did she? Didn't see them. Went right into them and then tried to kid Hakan that she woke up and this was already there. So all this yellow paint all over her bumper, identical to the gates to heaven, you know. There you go. That's it. Identical. I woke up and this would. And he went, typical cab driver. So he said, yeah, they all wake up and it's already done, you know.
I was laughing, but I must say, they've done it. They didn't even want to charge me. They were wonderful. So, boys, thank you very much.
That's right. That's ID Taxis. They do. They're the salespeople, aren't they? You got Cudworth Taxis.
And then you have a Vodsgrove.
Yeah, I must say, they are a blinding. You could go down there and just, you know. Well, she does. For no reason. Oh, I'm just passing by. You know, you want to see that they fall apart when she walks in, you know, because they're not used to it. Come on. All oiled up under the cabs and she walks in a little boob tube and all that. You think,
they're great. I love them.
They are good. Yeah. That's ID Taxis on Watts Grove, isn't it? All right. A lot of people. Remember, I've saw a couple of people I knew going in there, actually. So you're not on your own. That's it for today. Anybody else want to say? Great. Look out for Taxi Up down the ranks. they'll be down there next week again, usually on a Wednesday, isn't it? Giving out, you know, all the bump that goes on your taxis. But get involved with Taxi App. Get involved with London Taxi PR. We hope to be speaking to Lee because they're going to extend on their current promotion. So we'll get information about that. And until tomorrow night, I'll see you out there on the mean streets.